to refuse the marriage that her mother has, or older brother has chosen for her.
What page are we on?
We're reviewing the Mishnah on Daf Bet Amud Aleph. So,
that's it for next. Dad.
If a dad defeats, if a dad decides the marriage, you can't do anything about it. Well, the prophet can get divorced.
So does that mean I'm late in marrying off my girls?
You're never too late. Never too late.
This is in the case that the father's gone.
Yeah. We're talking about
you're
here.
Not too late. You're still here.
Still here.
Well, I'm looking for two wonderful shots for them.
If you try and marry off your girls in today's age, you might end up in the Miyun yourself.
Yeah.
So, anyway, next. Neta Ravai. Neta Ravai is... What's Neta Ravai? Come on, Ruben, you have to know what Neta Ravai is. Neta Ravai of the... Of what? Nachon. But what's Revayi? The fourth year. What happens in the fourth year? The first 3 years are Ola. Fourth year, you bring it to Jerusalem. Right?
I'm sorry, what page?
Bet Amud Aleph.
Bet Amud Aleph.
We're just going through the Mishnah until we get to the Gemara that we're up. Keep away those vampires. It's been three what? Good to eat garlic.
Yeah, but you want to make sure it's fresh instead of the dried Chinese garlic.
Wait, hold on. Who says it's forbidden to eat garlic?
No, it was a story. It was a rabbi with his students around the table. One guy was smelling.
It depends how much you're going to eat. If you're going to eat it, the smell comes out your feet if you eat too much. It says, I don't know where it's at the end of the Gemara. Smell comes out your feet if you eat too much garlic.
Oh, yeah.
Too much. Doesn't mean allow a little piece. A little bit. Also, if you brush your teeth afterwards, so you haven't got a problem.
No, but if you take a whole container of dry garlic powder, yes, and you sprinkle it on your hot dogs and wolf it down to a point where you're passing gas with garlic, people are going to complain.
They probably would. Okay, next, Masa Sheni. By Masa Sheni, She'en Damav Yuduin. So this is Neta Ravai and Masa Sheni, both done together. For what? In what case we're talking? She'en Damav Yuduin. I know I give a good cheer when I see that the students start crying. Tough. So, what's going on here? So, Neta Ravai, when you have your fourth year through, you don't need a judge, you don't need to go to Beit Din with your tree, right? But you do, in one case, what's that case? Same case of Masa Sheni. Also, Masa Sheni, you don't need Beit Din, except... And so?
You don't know the value.
If you don't know the value, so how am I meant to redeem it if I don't know the value?
For example, there was a storm and your fruit got damaged.
Or it's damaged fruit. There's something that has no market value. If your fruit is normal fruit, it's got a market value, you know how much those things cost in the super, right? So you just give the same amount. But if there's no value on the market that you would readily know, so you have to go to a Beit Din and they'll tell you. Okay. That's, again, done by three. Ha-hekdeshot. B'shosha. Hekdesh.
Onerous.
Huh?
Onerous.
Yeah, so what does it mean here? What's the case that we're talking about? That you go to Beit Din of Palamo 3. If you want to consecrate something, I consecrate my wife's favorite CD that I can't stand to the temple. Right? So why do I need to wait in for that? I mean, I might need to wait in afterwards when she finds out. But can we Reuven, can you do me a favor, just push the door? Thanks. So why do I need a Beit Din for Hekdesh?
So how much you need to how much worth?
No, right.
Isn't that so when you say something, I won't give to the temple, then you minus you change?
Nahon, you change
then
you want
you
it back.
You need to see the value from the CD, how much was it?
Yeah, you want to get
because
it back.
The wife say no, you cannot give the CD.
Yeah, fair.
So when you have
to you have to take it back. So you need to know the value in order to redeem it.
$500 change for me.
Or more.
Okay, next. Ha'erechin ha'metaltelin. Right, we looked at erechin and metaltelin. We said they're two different words put together that don't make sense. Because erechin is. Anyone remember what erechin is?
Is that the name?
Erechin is the erech.
A value.
A value. A value of what? Erech is the value of the person. Person. So a person has a fixed value. There's two ways of valuing a person. One is the Torah way. The Torah gives a fixed value of a certain amount of silver shekel for each person, depending on their age and their sex. Men and women, different value. According to set out in the Torah. Alternatively, you can value a person by their value on the slave market, which is a different type of value. That's their real market value, which might be very different than the Torah value, depending on the particular person himself. So that's an erech. So hametaltelin is the opposite. Hametaltelin is a movable. It's a hametaltelin. This is a hametaltelin. Right. So how do you have erech in hametaltelin? So there was different explanations in the Gemara as to what he actually must have meant when he said erech. He meant movable. That he top. I can't even remember all of them, but. Look in the Gemara as to how we actually understood what that meant.
Land is different.
No, not land. Not land yet. It doesn't mean land. It means a man. It means arachin. It means the value of the person. So then why do you say metaltelin? So then the question is why you said metaltelin if you meant arachin? Because they're two different things. Well, so what's arachin and metaltelin? So the answer we gave was, well, there was a couple of answers. Here we go. What does it mean? So one view is doesn't mean a man at all. It means the erech. When a person says an erechin, he doesn't mean erech of a man, which is the way the Torah uses the word erech. He means the erech, the value of the metaltelin. So he says erechin metaltelin. It just means the value of this metaltelin. He wasn't talking about that. Another way of explaining it is that he meant my erech, my value, but he was going to pay for it in metaltelin. He was going to pay the value in stolen watches, in metaltelin. And that was how he was going to pay.
How did we define metaltelin?
Metaltelin means movables, literally means movables, movable goods. Yeah. So when anybody wants to look, should look back in the Gemara and Daf Amud 14b, whatever that is. My Hebrews left me momentarily. Yud Dalet Amud Bet and see from there. Okay, next Rabbi Yehuda on there. Echad mehem a Kohen. Rabbi Yehuda says one of those people who value. Need to be a Kohen. The Hakarkaot Tishaba Kohen. And when you value land, you need 9 plus a Kohen, 10 altogether. One of them is a Kohen.
So you got the 9 is for the Yaakov.
Hmm?
You
Right. So that's what
So that's where you might have got the nine.
Yeah, okay. Because I remember the nine, but it was just like...
Where to fit it in. Right, so nine and a Kohen is for land. Put into Rabbi Yehuda. V'adam kiyot sebehem. And so to a man. If you're valuing land or you're valuing a man, you need 10 people, not just a Beit Din of 3. You need 10, one of them has to be a Kohen. Next, Dine Nefashot. Now, so all of the, everything up till there was Dine Mamonot. One way or another, Dine Mamonot. Court ordered values, penalties, etc., etc. All done by three, according to most of the opinions we saw. Some had a different opinion of five for the Egla Arufa. We have, but otherwise, for the or for the Ibo Achodesh, we also had the 3, 5, 7. But generally speaking, they were all done by three. Next, capital cases. Dine Nefashot, Be'eswim Ushosha. 23 for a capital case. Harova, Harovea, Vahanirba. Right, the beast that sodomized, or the beast that is sodomized. Be'eswim Ushosha. Judged by a court of 23. Like it says in the pasuk, "V'haragta et ha'isha v'yata behema." You should kill the woman and also the animal. V'omer v'yata behema ta'orogu, and it says, "And the animal you shall kill." Shor niskal be'eswim v'shosha. The ox that's going to be stoned is judged by a court of 23. When is an ox stoned?
When it's killed someone and there have been three warnings. Am I close?
Half correct. When it's killed someone, even if there hasn't been three warnings, first time it kills someone, we kill it. We don't give it. I told you before not to kill. You did it again. You do it one more time, I'm killing you. We kill it straight away.
And
so it's so then you should ask the question.
The owner doesn't get any value from it. He doesn't get the hump, the hide, or the meat.
You're not allowed to take any value from something that's taken to be killed. You're right. So then your mind should be immediately saying, if you kill it on the first occasion, how do you ever get to a Shor Moad that kills three times? Because on the first occasion, you kill it. Don't leave it around.
Because it only wounded. It gored. And then later on, the person died from the injuries.
Okay.
Am I
could
close?
Be. Could be. Don't know. There's different... I haven't seen a...
I try to remember this back from what did we cover? What Gemara was it with
this one?
My mind's blank today.
Probably this one.
No. It's no Mishnah. It was Baba.
We didn't
know
about this.
No. That is I'm sorry, I'm just losing. It has to do with goring.
It does, right. It
could be that they just found bodies with holes in them. They knew it was a Shor, but they couldn't find a Shor. And then the third time when they found the Shor, my God, they said, ah, but those are the other two of the same. DNA.
Tough. Don't know. So one view that I have seen is that it did it three times, but it was before the court, before Nigmar Din, right? Before they finished the judgment, it was also... okay. Okay, so the opposite is Shoran Iskal, Beshim Shosha. Shinema, like it says, Hashor Yisakel, Vagam Ba'alav Yumat. The ox is put to death, and also the owners are killed. Actually, the owners aren't killed. We saw in the Gemara that's not, even though the Torah says that, Pshat is, that's not what happened. We don't kill the owner because his ox caught someone. Kmita Ba'alav Kach Mitat Shor. Just like the owner is put to death, so is the Shor. So why does it come to tell us that the owner is put to death? In other cases where the owner is put to death, just like the death of the owners, so to give you the juxtaposition, to teach you that also an ox needs 23. just like when you're putting a person to death, you need a quarter 23. So too, the ox is also has the same din. Okay. No, making a hekesh. Hekesh or gezeirah shavah, depending which one it was. From the, I think, or just, or maybe just a smicha. The fact that it's in the same, next to each other. Okay, next, the ganach hayot. Hazeev, ha'ari, hadov, ha'neme, ha'bar de las vanach. Zev, a wolf. Ari, a lion. Right. Dog.
Bear.
Bear. Nemer.
Leopard.
Leopard. Bardalas.
No idea.
Exactly. Now you're stuck. A bard, like we said, was either a polecat or a snake, depending on the. But then it says that, but it also said panachash and a snake. So, question as to, so one's a kusha. How can you call it a snake if you also say a snake? So we, I didn't see the answer. But. So I'm going to see the Rabbi Akiva says you kill it straight away.
Let's make
you don't take
a picture of the snake in this garden. So you have to kill him.
I killed the snake over the holiday.
Well, it says a skunk.
I'm not sure.
You
killed? Yeah.
Well,
that's
dangerous.
I don't know. I killed it anyway. Don't know if it was dangerous. It was on the, there's a cycle path, a running path. Goes around the outside of the issue. I did my his body when I'm in the issue. Walking around there. Yeah, middle of the path. Snake is about this long. Quite thin.
A garden snake.
So. Oh, yeah. So I got a stone. That's much to say.
I mean.
So.
This, how long was this? This maybe was not a media restaurant.
I got a camera and I held it up to the. Put it on the wall. No.
Oh, it says here, a skunk.
You haven't seen snakes? You haven't seen snakes? The god?
No. No.
They're talking about a skunk, according to Rashi.
A skunk?
But...
Where does it say skunk?
35.
It says skunk?
Yeah.
My book says it says polecat. You said skunk?
Right. 35, a skunk, Rashi... 15b.
So they changed it. My version of the same book says a polecat. They changed it.
I mean, a skunk is harmless. Smelly.
Right. So, Tog, that's probably why they changed. Hold on. When's your printing? December 2008, fourth printing.
This is...
Next page. Yeah, down in the middle. In the middle it says first printing, second printing.
December 2...
2003.
Yeah.
That's interesting, because I don't have any of those options. Ah, it's a Daf Yomi edition. So this is December 2008. So they changed it for the Daf Yomi edition.
Right.
Later on, this is the later, newer version to polecat.
I mean, polecat makes sense more than skunk because my wife had a whole family of skunks underneath her mobile home in Colorado.
Right. But all you do is Babel. We're in Babel.
You soak yourself in orange in
Babel.
Tomato juice.
No Babel. No polecat in Babel. Things change anyway. There used to be lions running around this country. We don't really see so many now.
Lions, of course. They all
turned into statues. But they used it for couple.
Why? We have five lions in our house.
I know they like to think they're lions, but they're cute little
pussycats.
So you have to kill them.
Only if they kill someone.
Cute little lions.
And when you see danger anywhere, you have to kill them.
If it's a danger.
Why you kill the snake?
Yeah, but that's not 100%. But that's not what the Gemara here is coming. The Gemara here is coming to say that any of these things, mita tam be'esim b'shosha, can kill them with. You only kill them with a quarter 23. Only with a quarter 23. If for sure, if the pikuach nefesh. then you don't. Then you, you do whatever. But the law is, according to the Gemara, we're going to sit with the Mishnah. The Gemara is going to question it. But the Gemara, the Mishnah at this point says, you only kill them the quarter 23. If you kill them without quarter 23, you messed up. You went against the law. Unless it was pekuach nefesh, in which case, that's, you're allowed to.
Pekuach nefesh. I understand. Let's say you see a lion in the jungle. Okay, you lift it. But when he's in the city...
No, it says pekuach nefesh, so you have to kill it. It's pekuach nefesh. If you see him in the zoo, and he's behind the bars, it's pekuach nefesh. You don't need to kill him right now.
No. But when you see a snake in the garden, so you have to kill him.
Unless he's someone's snake.
I don't know.
I mean, this is this morning from our lion.
Right.
So when you have
3 o'clock in the morning.
Lion in the apartment.
Pussycat.
That's
what
happened. If you're going to use it as a football.
Well, she thinks she's a lion.
Right. So you think she's a football, do you? Difference of opinion. Tom.
No, I dropped her like a football. Right. Or I should say a hot potato. Yeah. Oh, man. After she did that to me.
Tom. Okay. So, you need a quarter 23. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Kol HaKodem LeHorgan Zacha. Rabbi Eliezer says like Reuven. There should be, but yeah, there should be the thing one, son. Rabbi Eliezer says like Rabbi Reuven, and says no. Kol HaKodem, anyone who comes first to kill them, Zacha. Kol HaKavod. You don't need a.
You see them. You're not waiting.
You're not waiting. Rabbi Eliezer says
no. Now, can we do the same thing with the Plishtim, or do we have to deal?
We're going to see what the argument is in a minute when we look at the Gemara now. Okay, so Kol HaKodem Zacha. Rabbi Akiva on there. Rabbi Akiva says, Mitatan Be'etzrim Meshosha. Rabbi Akiva says, no, their death is by 23.
Started today?
Yesterday, but we're just looking back at the Mishnah before we get back to the Gemara. Okay, so that's the Gemara we are into now. On Tet Vav Amud Aleph Bet. Sorry.
Why did they have to say that Rabbi Akiva? Says 23 if we already said 23.
Very, very good, Yofi. The Gemara is going to ask that question. Well spotted. Two opinions with the same opinion. Tanakama and Rabbi Akiva both say 23. I don't need Rabbi Akiva to say 23, but Tanakama just said 23. Can't you see that in the Mishnah? The Mishnah says all of these animals are killed by a quarter 23. Rabbi Ella says no. Anyone who comes and kills them, Yofi, Zacha, Rabbi Kiva says, no, 23. Yeah, that's what he just said. I used to have a girl in my class who really annoyed me when I was in school. She should be healthy and well. But in the middle of the class, the teacher would say, and now, children, we're learning that, I know, leopards have spots. Miss, the leopards have spots, right? Very good. So, whatever the teacher say, she just like repeat it back to get a kind of a, I don't know, it's just like really.
Typical.
Right? Annoyed me. Right? She just got a. Anyway, I had bad midoy as a kid. Which one? Rabbi Akiva appears to be doing the same thing. Right? So for sure that's not what he's doing.
Well, God wants she has 20 kids and they're driving her insane.
No, Hashem, everything's good for her. She has lions running around her house too. Okay. Tov. So we're on Tet Vav Amud Bet. Middle of the page. The two dots. Ha'ari v'hazev. The lion and the wolf. 15B2, second column. Okay. Amar Reish Lakish. So the Gemara is going to question Rabbi Eliezer's ruling. Tanakhama said you need a quarter 23. So what happened? What's the situation we're talking about? talking about a situation where one of these animals kills a person. The Tanakhama says, just like an ox, so too any other animal. Just like an ox, you see an ox that kills someone, what do you do? We don't shoot the ox. You have to say the ox to bait it. 23, the Torah says, sort it out, bait it. So too, you see one of these other animals, they kill so too. So you learn from the ox. You go and get the animal, you say, oi, you, come with me, we're going to bait it. And the animal goes,
come
okay, come on, let's go to bait it.
Right?
And you say, look, if you've got an argument, put it through the bait in. If they believe you, they'll let you off. But you have to take it to bait it. Because it's like an ox. You learn from the ox. The story,
you can say it's my nature.
Why does it matter? We're going to kill the ox anyway. We're not asking him whether he meant it. We're not letting him off because he got in a bad mood. The judge is saying, did this animal kill that? Answer yes, kill it. So the judge is going to say, according to the Tanakhama, did this lion kill that person? Yes, fine, kill it.
But I'll do tshuva.
Because they say...
No tshuva for now.
The lion say, it's my nature.
So
maybe
what?
He was in a place where he was...
We don't care about his nature. We don't care about the ox if it's his nature or not. We're still killing the ox.
Well, but oxes are domesticated animals.
So?
People are around them.
So?
Let's say you don't know this.
You're right.
People don't know to stay away from an ox, but they know that you see a lion or...
Well, right, that's also true, but an ox has horns and a lion's got hair. You're right, it's a difference. But what's the relevance to bringing it to court or not? What's the how's that relevant to bringing it to court?
Let's say an ox, it's nature to
kill
an ox. They're carnivorous. We're not talking about whether it intended its nature, it wanted to do it, it made it, so what? So what?
Well, neither is the ox. They kill anyway.
If the ox did it three times, so it's also its nature to kill. You've got a killing ox.
That's why you're killing it.
Uh-huh.
You actually wouldn't normally kill. You might normally kill a lion.
Yeah, okay, you're right. But why is that relevant to whether or not you should take it to court?
Because
you're telling me that fact in order to tell me, and therefore you shouldn't take it to court.
It's like taking a going to court instead of a Jew.
No, because... When
that culture, that
because
culture.
You can say there's no point.
What?
You can say there that there's no point.
No point.
Right, but there's no point in the ox either. The ox, you're going to kill it. You're going to take it to the court. The court's going to say, yes, it killed. Kill it.
I may not show faith in a lion because it kills. The shore he made differently. It's not
Why?
Supposed to kill.
It's an animal. An animal that killed, you need to kill. Nahon, the law is any animal that kills, you need to kill it. Right? That's a given, any of them.
Then why are
we? So we're going to kill them. We're going to kill all of them.
You mean we are in peace negotiation?
We're going to kill the ox, and we're going to kill the lion, and we're going to kill the bear, we're going to kill them all. Here, we just read the passage.
Why not?
On in the Mishnah. Ve'eta behema terogu. So it's not a question of we're taking it to court in order to kill it, not in order to find a way to get him out. We're taking it to the executioner. The court is the executioning body to make sure that it was this ox. But as long as it was that ox, it's not a question.
So why don't we have Tippi Livni and peace now? Start peace negotiations with the ox and the lion, and there.
Yes,
just like they're doing with the other murderers.
They probably would. But so back to our question. So do we still have a problem with the Tanakhama's view about any other animal? If you're going to do that for an ox, Tanakhama says, so too any other animal. Any other animal that kills, before you kill it, take it to a Beit Din, it killed a person. It needs to have a Beit Din's whatever reason.
I mean, how can you take a steak to a Beit Din?
Shush.
The ox person walk with them.
Yes.
He's always together with them, farming.
Okay.
Yeah? But with the white animals, nobody has a connection with white animals.
Okay, yeah, I agree. And therefore.
So it's understandable when a person goes to the jungle,
yes,
he sees problem. When the lion kills him, but But let's say a lion comes to a city,
yeah.
a place where we do it, yeah. and kills him, that's different. Then you can come to the court and kill him.
What's the difference?
The difference is...
He killed a person, he killed a person. This one he killed over there, this one he killed over here.
This is his place, his territory.
Right, so he's allowed to? He's allowed to? Why does it make it to his place? He's allowed to kill over there? It don't care if it's allowed. So, okay, you're right, I know.
In a place where it's danger,
not hot, but what?
You call it a danger place because...
Yeah, fair, so you're right. So I put myself in that danger. There's an ox that kills 20 people. We just didn't have a... We didn't have a bait din for whatever reason. The bait din was sick. We couldn't find a bait din. It was an ox. And it killed 20 people. And I walk into the cage myself. Does it make any difference? I still have to go by the rules and take that ox to court and kill it.
But you put yourself in
danger. No, but so what? Does it make any difference to the law? The law says I need to take it to bait din.
Yeah, of course. But the tie gets me the wild animals is when a wild animal kill a person, bring it to the court.
Uh-huh.
So this is the tie. So, but now we have to find out what they mean with this tie.
Oh, okay. So you think they only in certain cases?
Of course.
Okay.
So you can report all of them.
Okay. So we say so the Gemara doesn't challenge the Tanakhama. The Gemara doesn't ask any questions. It just accepts that that's the Tanakhama's view. So the Gemara here now is discussing the view of Rabbi Eliezer that says no. Rabbi Eliezer says no, you just kill it. So that's what the Gemara is going to discuss. The view that you take it to the court, just like you take the ox, is simply accepted. Amar Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish says, V'hu shehemito. And this, that Rabbi Eliezer said that you kill it, he's talking about Shehimito, where it killed someone. Aval loy mito lo. But if it didn't kill someone, then you're not allowed to kill it. So even Rabbi Eliezer says that Kol HaKodem Zocher, anyone who wants to kill it can kill it. He's very careful to say, but only where it actually killed a person. If it just attacked a person and gored them within an inch of their life, but they're hanging on in life support, can't kill it, according to what we're reading now.
Right? Here in the translation, we shouldn't have told this, right?
No, we're not there yet.
That's
we're going to see, we're going to see different, but no, we're going to see where
that's the conclusion. That's a little bit of my life, that's half the time. It's only like the main one we learn with Aleph, the beginning of the Gemara.
The mission at the beginning, yeah, this is now speaking about that mission. This Gemara now is talking about that mission on the first hour. Okay, so Alma translates here as Alma is apparently, or we see, Alma means we see, apparently, Kesava Yesh Lahem Talbut, but Yesh Lahem Baalin. Apparently, Kesavar, he thinks, he holds his svava of Reish Lakish. The one who said this, Reish Lakish, or maybe Rabbi Yehuda, whichever one we're talking about here, he holds. Yesh lahem tarbut, v'yesh lahem balim. They have a tarbut, they have a nature, they have a, here translates in the art scholars, they can be tamed. V'yesh lahem balim, and they have balim. Meaning, why do they say that? Because if they have owners, then you can't kill them because they belong to someone. It's not your property. If they're wild and they're dead, then you can. If they're wild and they're hefka, you can do what you like. Lunch, see an animal in the field, hefka, you can kill it, you can, right? As long as you don't know sa balachayim, you might, you don't transgress any law, you're allowed to kill animals. Right?
I don't think pussycats are kosher.
If you have a good reason for doing it, right? So you're allowed to do that. So,
no, but,
you so, but if it has an owner, you're not allowed to do it. You have to find out the owner, because otherwise you're destroying someone else's property. So we see from here this ruling that Reish Lakish says that you could only kill it if it killed someone. means that he assumes, we understand, therefore, that he assumes that these animals must have owners, or the ability, possibility that they have owners. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Afal Pi Shelohi Mitu. Rabbi Yochanan says no. Rabbi Yochanan says, Afal Pi Shelohi Mitu, even if they didn't kill, you're allowed to kill them, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Right? Alma Ksava Ein Lahem Talbot Ve'Ein Lahem Balin. Therefore we see that Rabbi Yochanan apparently holds that they cannot be tamed and they don't have owners, because he allows you to kill them even if they don't kill a person. Okay. Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah, our Mishnah, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Kol HaKodem LaHorgan Zachar. Right? Our Mishnah says that Rabbi Eliezer holds that anyone who comes first to kill them, Zachar. Zachar. Now the Gemara says, Bishlomo LaRabbi Yochanan. That makes sense according to Rabbi Yochanan. Why? Lamai Zachar. What's the Zachar? Zachar Loran. What does Zocher mean? It means he merits. Right? So, what does he merit? What does he acquire? Why does the Mishnah use the word Zachar? He acquires. So the Gemara says he acquires their hide. Right? Kol HaKodem gets themselves a nice carpet, a nice bit of rug. You see a lion killing someone. Yofi! There's a nice rug for the fireplace. Kol HaKodem Zocher. Therefore, the Gemara says, that works with Rabbi Yochanan. Why? Why does that work with Rabbi Yochanan and not work with Reish Lakish, the first opinion? Because we said Rabbi Yochanan holds that these animals are ownerless. Whereas Reish Lakish says, no, they have an owner, so you can't kill them if they don't kill them. What does it mean? It means that the Gemara says, how can the Mishnah say the word Zachar? So if Zachar means that he acquires the hide, well, if he's got an owner, then you can't acquire the hide. It's not yours. Even if you did kill it, it's not yours. If you go and see your neighbor's cat and it's annoying you, or it's attacking your chicken, right? You go and kill it, right? Then you can't just go and take the, you can't have a kol hakodem zocher, you go and take the cat hide and, I don't know, you're gonna do the cat hide and stick it on your kettle as a tea cozy. Whatever you can think of doing, make a hot water bottle with it. I know. So
it's
do something useful with it. Right? You're not allowed to take it, it belongs to someone. So we say that our Mishnah apparently goes by the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan, who says it's ownerless. That's why you can be zocher. Otherwise, you can't zocher to the hide at all. It belongs to someone. So apparently, the Mishnah doesn't work very well for that first opinion of Rabbi Yochanan. Sorry, Reish Lakish. Elal Reish Lakish. So what's Reish Lakish going to say about the word zachar? How can it be zachar if it belongs to someone? So Reish Lakish answers differently. He says, Lamai Zachar, what did he Zachar, what did he acquire? Kevan Shehemitu, once they killed, Shavinhu Rabbanan Kaman Degamah Dinayu. The rabbis treat it as if it was already sentenced to death. The Isurei Hana Dinhu. Oh, sorry, this is still the question on Reish Lakish. If Reish Lakish says, Reish Lakish comes back and argues against Rabbi Yochanan. What's he saying? He's saying, you say Rabbi Yochanan's got a better understanding of this Mishnah, right? Because Zachar, according to Rabbi Yochanan, he can acquire the hide, right? Because it's an ownerless animal. But Reish Lakish comes back and says, no, I can tell you the reverse. Once the animal has killed someone, then you're not allowed to take the hide. because like Rabbi Yaakov mentioned before, you're not allowed to benefit from an animal that's killed someone. So, goes even against Rabbi Yochanan. Once he kills someone, it's as if he's been sentenced to death by the court, and therefore you're not allowed the animal, therefore you're not allowed to take its hide. So you can't say Zachah, the or. You can't say that's what he acquired, the person who came along and killed the animal. Didn't acquire that. So how does he interpret it? My Zachah, Zachah l'shamayim. What does he acquire? Says Reish Lakish, he doesn't acquire the material or of flesh. He acquires shamayim. What does that mean? Rashi says, Zachah shamayim. Zachah asa. What does that mean? Those who stand for the Shoah, I want to say Perek Tehillim. Be the Nishmat of all those who died in the Holocaust. So what did he acquire? So Reish Lakish says he acquired the mitzvah. He acquired the mitzvah of killing a dangerous animal. Right? Zachah, he acquired the mitzvah. He didn't acquire the hides. He didn't acquire the physical animal itself. Kol HaKodem Zocher, anyone who comes first, Zocher to the mitzvah. And that's why Rashi says here, Sadaka Asa. Because you might be scratching your head to say, well, what mitzvah did he do? I killed it. Is it a mitzvah to kill? Answer, yeah. You did a Sadaka. Yeah, but what mitzvah? You did a Sadaka. I don't know how you translate Sadaka here. As Chesed? It's not like he did a Chesed.
Righteousness.
Like he said it to Adolf, right? He did the correct thing in the situation when you see an animal that kills someone, is to kill the animal. He did a tzedek. So that's the mitzvah he was your zocher to do.
So how is the person acting like an animal? You can kill him.
Pray for him. Like
not the truth.
Ruria.
Not the truth.
The wife of Rabbi Meir, he said, don't pray that they die, pray that they do shuvah.
Yeah, true.